Today I'm going to talk about the Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra, which is one of the main texts of Mahayana Buddhism. And it's from the Prajna Paramita Sutra collection, which is 6 volumes of sutras. And it said that the Heart Sutra is the essence of those 6 volumes of sutras. And it's a key Mahayana text, so it's recited in monasteries around the world every day. And it's also one that we recite every time we have a sutra service. So we chant the Japanese version and recite the English version. So it's a compulsory text for us as well. So when I first came across Buddhism in India in the late 80s, I kept hearing about emptiness. Emptiness, emptiness, and it didn't sound very appealing to me. It sounded quite nihilistic, that nothing really has any meaning. So I really struggled with that. I couldn't really find an explanation for it. But there was something about the Tibetan refugees that I met, their faces and the way they lived their lives, that made me think there was something about Buddhism that could be worth pursuing. So I kept learning and meditating and studying. And eventually I learned that shunyata, which is the Buddhist word for emptiness, also means fullness. And so shunyata is a connected emptiness. So nihilism is disconnected, so there's no sense of connection to other beings, to life. There's no sense of meaning. But shunyata is actually connected, and what Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing. And shunyata is really saying that we are always connected to everything else. We never exist in isolation from anything. So we might think that nihilism is one way of seeing the world, and eternalism, that we have some immortal soul, something that keeps going through, is another way of seeing the world. But in Buddhism, neither of those are considered correct. The Prajna Paramita Heart Sutra is quite a challenging text, and certainly not one that can be explained. It's something to meditate on. So when we look at the sutra, there's a lot of no's. There's neither form, so no form, no feelings, no perceptions, no impulses, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, body or mind. No form, no sound, no smell. No taste, no touch, object of the mind. No element of sight, no any other element of consciousness. No ignorance, no old age or death. No extinguishing of ignorance, old age or death. No suffering, no beginning or end. No path, no wisdom, no attainment. That is a lot of no's. It's not actually very invitational, is it? So two of the expressions that are most crucial in the sutra is form is emptiness. Emptiness is only form. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. And so it said that Avalokiteshvara, who is a bodhisattva of compassion, was sitting in deep meditation, and he realized the emptiness of the 5 skandhas. So the skandhas in Buddhism are the elements that make up who we are. So the first one of those is the body. So the body feels very solid, but it's actually constantly dying and renewing itself. So the cells are born. They constantly die, and we're constantly in relationship to the environment. So the body doesn't exist in isolation. It depends on air, depends on food, depends on the warmth of the sun. And then we're constantly shedding cells and transforming, and eventually we started off as a tiny little embryo, and then we're nourished by the earth and beings around us. And then eventually all those cells that were created from that disappear again, and then nourish the earth again and the next generation. So the sense of emptiness in the body. And also feelings. So when we meditate, we can observe the feelings flowing past. It's like we're sitting on the edge of a river and observing the feelings that are flowing past. But we're also experiencing them. So it's not a detached witnessing. It's a very experiencing witnessing. And by embracing our strong emotions with mindfulness, we can learn to take good care of them. And we notice that we are actually influenced by many other factors. So we think emotions are there and they have reality, but they're actually constantly influenced by what's happening around us and within us. So one of the studies I found really fascinating, and this was a huge study of magistrates and what kind of sentences they gave. And basically in the morning, the sentences weren't too harsh, but just before lunchtime, they gave much longer sentences. And then again at the end of the day, so after lunch, things were a bit better again. By the end of the day, they gave another long sentences again. So judges think of themselves as very rational and good knowledge of the law. And then something like being a bit hungry actually makes an impact on them. So it's quite remarkable. Then we also have the mob mentality. We're very easily influenced by others around us. And also that sense that, you know, if one person has a bad mood, they can really bring down the rest of the group as well. So feelings are constantly changing. So the emptiness of feelings as well. And the next one is perception. So we all know that our perceptions are often incorrect and that our perceptions can actually cause a lot of suffering. The fourth one is mental formations, so it's called samskara. And it's a sense of the seed consciousness. So we have mental formations and then we can decide which ones we want to cultivate and look after and which ones we want to sort of let go of. And so again, with meditation and retreats and doing a lot of meditation, we start to see very deeply into them and we start to see their emptiness. And the fifth skanda is consciousness, which contains all the others. And that's about making choices, having that conscious act of will and making choices in our lives. So the five skandas, which is basically how we experience the world, are empty, but they're also full of everything that exists. And that's the concept of shunyata. And in Buddhism, they talk about the three dharma seals, so the three concepts, I guess, that are very important to understand. So the first one of those is impermanence, which is called anicca. And that's basically saying that everything is changing all the time. Nothing ever stays the same for even a second or a microsecond. And we know that intellectually, but to really know that at a deep level is one of the, when we do meditation, to really experience the fact that things are just changing all the time and there's nothing solid at all. And the next one is anatta, which is no self. So we have the sense of we were born and then we grow up and there's some person there that's there the whole time. But of course, when we were a young child, we were very different. And now we're different. And in the next 2 minutes, we're going to be different again. And so we have sometimes what's called a functional self. So we exist in the world, we interact with the world. But there's nothing really behind that. There's nothing solid. That we only exist in relationship to everything else, to the fact that our grandparents met each other, to the fact that we eat food that's provided to us, to the fact that we breathe the air that's being breathed out by the tree, that we're influenced all the time. So there's nothing solid in the self. There's just this constant changing. And the next one is dukkha, which is the unsatisfactory nature of existence. Which is not to say we can't have joy and happiness, but even when we have joy and happiness, we know that that is passing, and then there will be sadness, and the people who we love will go and die, and we will also die. So nothing is solid, nothing is reliable. So the sense of unsatisfactory nature of existence, that things are just constantly coming and going, coming and going. So in our own lives, we can lean towards emptiness more or towards form more. So we may have a strong feeling of wanting to meditate a lot and experience that greater sense of awareness, perhaps a sense of emptiness, which is good, but then we might neglect the form, the everyday things that have to be done, the body that has to be looked after, the other more mundane tasks that have to be done. Or we could be very focused on the body and not think about the spiritual aspects of life so much. And it's really that they both contain each other. So form is emptiness and emptiness is form. So they're always existing within each other. And if we only focus on one or the other, we're actually missing out on understanding that they're both the same things. I'd like to read a beautiful, I guess you could call it a poem by Thich Nhat Hanh from his book The Other Shore, which is a reflection on the Heart Sutra. And this one is called Contemplating the Body in the Body. And after each line, I will pause for a moment and just give you an opportunity to really reflect on these words. This body has been here for a long time, for millions of years. It is a continuation of many generations. It has never died. I cannot take this body lightly. It is not mine alone. I cannot underestimate this body. It is the body of all my ancestors. The mind is in this body. The mind gives rise to this body, and this body gives rise to the mind. In this body, all the wonders of the life of the cosmos are to be found. The realm of no birth and no death, the pure land, and the kingdom of God are also in this body. I cannot take it lightly. It contains all the mysteries of the cosmos. This body is also a wonderful flower of the cosmos. I want to take good care of it. I want my body to reveal to me all the mysteries, all the wonders of the cosmos. This body will be continued in many other forms, whether I have children and grandchildren or not. I want this body to continue beautifully for many lives to come. So the Heart Sutra is not something to explain or to understand. It's just really something to sit with. But it really is one of the founding texts, one of the foundational texts of the Zen tradition, of Mahayana Buddhism. So it's easy to try and get your words around the Japanese and the chanting and then to just read it and not really think about it deeply. But I really encourage you to sit with it and to really have a sense of all those no's, no, 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 and to have a sense of what that might actually mean in our lives.